Sometimes the things of the kingdom of God are upside down, counterintuitive, like it is better to give than receive. We all like to get, but do we like to give? And so part of that is trusting that when we follow God, when we do what God calls us to do, that there is a blessing coming, that there is something about obedience that helps us understand and know God, and in a new and unique way that we've never known before, we will experience Him. Today we're on the last reality in Henry Blackaby's study called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And there are seven realities that talk about this experience. And so I'm going to just walk through these first six as a way of review. And as we go through them, I would like you to speak the word that is underlined, the kind of central word in each reality. Now, I know some of you maybe have been here for each week. That's great. Some of you might have missed some. So this kind of brings it all together as we understand what it means to fully experience God. So the first one is that God is at all around us. So all around, God is at work. Jesus said, my Father has always been working up till now, and He continues to work. So God is working all around us all the time. That's an amazing thing when we begin to realize that, hey, God is still working and moving. And the second reality says that God desires a with us, a love relationship, that at the heart of everything God is about and wants us to experience is this relationship of love that is real, that is personal, and that it is practical every day in our lives. It's also eternal. And so God desires more than anything else, more than what we can do for Him, is that we have this relationship with Him, an intimate, personal love relationship with the Creator of the universe. The third reality is God invites us to join Him in His work. That as God is at work around us, He invites us to come in alongside of what He is doing and join Him in that amazing work. And that's pretty amazing, really, when you think about it, that God wants us to join in His work, in the great things that God is doing. And then God speaks to us to reveal what He is about to do. God speaks. You know, we spent a couple of weeks on this one, and it kind of makes us pause because, you know, we think, God speaks. We really need to hear God speaking to each and every one of us. At the heart of our relationship, we need to know that God wants to communicate with us, and He is. So God speaks through the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in prayer, in our circumstances, and in the church to reveal to us what God is about to do. So God speaks. And number five says, when we hear God, we experience a crisis of faith. You know, it's kind of like this, oh my, I just heard from God. Wow, is it true? Did God really say that? Do I really believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do and that He can do it? So it causes a crisis of belief that means that we have to then begin to shift our lives, which is the sixth reality. We adjust our lives to what God is doing, that we need to align our lives with what God has revealed to us in order for us to begin to walk out in faith what we have heard God reveal. And that brings us to the final reality. We experience God through obedience. When we obey God, He accomplishes His work through us, and we will come to know Him by that experience. So today, at the end of this series, I'm reminded about why I believe this is such an important topic for us. You know, I'm serious about our mission of making fully devoted followers of Jesus. You know, and it's not just to reach some ministry goal. You know, it's not just to be a powerful witness, which I think it is in the church. But because for me, this is personal. It really is. You know, there's nothing greater than experiencing God at work in our lives, in my life. I'm amazed. I'm really in awe at, you know, the idea that God would choose me, you know, to work through me, to use me in ways that I could have never imagined. And I just stand in awe of that, that he has revealed himself to me through the work that he is doing. And, you know, it's almost too much really to believe, except that it really is my experience. And so it's not just for me. This experiencing God is for all people. It's for all of us. There's nothing extraordinary about me. You know, I appreciate at the end of service or something, you know, nice sermon, Pastor Tim, you know, great job, whatever you're doing. But I tell you, there's nothing special about me. You know, God chooses to do his work through ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. You know, God is revealing himself to each one of us, to you and to you and to you. And to you, God is at work showing us what he is doing. He loves us. He wants us to be part of what he is doing. And my heart's desire really is that each one of us, each one of you, experiences God working in their lives. It's disciple making. It's life transforming. Jesus said, come follow me. He didn't say, come follow someone else. He didn't say, come follow some other thing. Jesus said, come follow me, a person in a relationship, and discover who God is. You know, only God can reveal himself to you. I can't do it. And sometimes I wish I could. I wish I could experience God and just allow you to experience that same thing, but I can't. But God can do that, and God is faithful to reveal himself to his people every day if we're willing to open our eyes to the amazing and marvelous things that he's doing. So I believe God's at work all around us, just like that first reality says. He's doing these amazing things. You know, we each need to personally experience how God is at work. So we have the opportunity, again, is, you know, to experience God. You know, and I desire that you personally know him, that you personally experience God's will. You know, I want you to walk in his ways and experience that joy of obedience that comes from that walk with Jesus. And ultimately, that we experience God together. And I think we are doing that. You know, John says in his third letter, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So when we say to make fully devoted followers of Jesus who love God, who love others, who serve in the world. It's not just a catchy slogan or a good mission statement. It's the truth. It's the desire of our heart that we as a people experience God and those around us experience him. So if you're ready, if we want to jump into these this last reality, let's come before the Lord in prayer. But I should ask, are you ready? Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity of walking through this series of experiencing God. Thank you that you are revealing to us that you want a relationship with us, that you want to experience, or that you want us to experience you at work through us. And Lord, as we walk through these realities, help us, Lord, to not just hear them, but Lord, to really put them into practice, Lord, and to begin to know and do your will as we experience you at work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this seventh reality says this, I come to know God by experience as I obey him and he accomplishes his work through me. So wow, we come to know God by experience as he accomplishes his work. And you know, when it's God's work, it's God-sized work. And here's the thing about God at work. It can't be something we can do on our own. You know, it's really cool to accomplish a lot of things for God, but, you know, until it's God-sized, until it's something that we know we can't do on our own, we're just going to kind of be like, wow, this is cool. But when God moves in a way that we know we could have never done, when it's God-sized and he accomplishes it, then we stand back and go, wow, right? God did that. And that's the experience that God wants us to understand and to know. So it all comes down to one little word, you know, one little thing. You know, right before, you know, it says to experience him, we need to do what? Anybody know? Obey. How many of you like that word? obey. You know, it's amazing at the end of this series, this final reality, you know, that where the, you know, we say the proverbial road meets the rubber. One last step. There's one small thing. It hangs on this final reality, and that is obey God. I don't know if that makes you go, oh. Or if it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, obey God. Henry Blackaby reveals the impact of this obedience. He says this, in many ways, obedience is your moment of truth. In other words, what you do will reveal what you believe about God. It determines whether you will experience his mighty work through you, and it'll determine whether you decide that you will come to know him more intimately. So obedience really does reveal a lot about us. You know, we might tell ourselves, you know, who's going to really know, you know, if I obey God or not? You know, does it really make that much of a difference? You know, Jesus says this, if you love me, you will obey what I command. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So if we say we love Jesus, then it really does matter a lot about whether we obey or not. Because if we do not obey Jesus, then the scripture says we do not love him. Wow. Do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Of course, right? We love Jesus. Do we obey him? I've always read this passage with a little caution because, you know, when you're reading and you know, the Spirit of God is revealing these things to you, I don't know about you, but I realize that, you know, I can't fake this before God. I might be able to fake this before people, but not before God. God knows. God knows all things. Either I love him and obey him, or I don't obey him and I don't love him. Whew. So if we want to experience God, we are called to this obedience and this experience that comes only through following Jesus. In 1 John 2:3, we read, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. To know God. You know, we can't rely on some past decision to accept Jesus. You know, I am all about being born anew, about professing Jesus as Lord and Savior, about making that commitment, that decision where God comes into our hearts, you know, where God is at work, and we know that we have received the living Savior. But it's not about a one-time thing. It's about continually knowing God, continually experiencing God in our lives, continually walking in obedience as God begins to reveal new areas in our lives where he wants us to come under his lordship and surrender to his will. Obedience is important, and it's not just talk. You know, when Shirley teaches love your neighbor as yourself, when she teaches it's better to give than to receive, it's not just talk. It's lived out in action and demonstrated in concrete ways, in obedience. In Matthew 21, Jesus says this, what do you think? What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first one or the second one? The first son, right? The one who said no, but then he went. You know, and Jesus affirms that answer. So what's the meaning of obedience? It's either one of these two, saying you'll do what's commanded or doing what is commanded. Which is it? Wow, right? It seems so simple, but yet doing what God commanded. So what has God commanded us to obey? You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to do then what God has commanded me. I'm going to follow God. When he reveals his will to me, that's where I'm going to go. So what has God revealed to us? Well, in the Bible, he's given us these commands. You know how many there are? 10. Wow, 10 commands. You know, that's kind of basic. How are we doing in obeying those? Oh, this was a rhetorical question. No, I'm sorry. Right. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. You know, how are we doing on loving our enemies? He tells us to make disciples. Are we doing to the best of our ability what God calls us to do? Jesus tells us to live in unity. How well do we do that? So how many of these can we choose to obey? How many of these can we just kind of set aside and say, maybe later? Well, I think God's heart is that all of these are his will for our lives, to walk in obedience to Christ. God wants us to obey. And so because he loves us and he wants what's best for us, he gives us these commands. And God's commands are always best, the best life we can live. So if we trust him and we live out of this love relationship with him, then we begin to see that when we are faithful in a little, then God begins to trust us with more. You know, remember too, out of this first basic step of obedience, we come to know God by experiencing him as he does his work through us. And sometimes God is even gracious enough to give us a second chance. In Jonah 1, chapter 1, 1 through 3, we read this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. There he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I don't know how many of you know the story of Jonah, but how does that go for him? Not so good, right? I mean, a big storm comes, he gets thrown overboard, and what happens? He gets swallowed by a big fish, right? Yeah. And so God gives Jonah a second chance, and while he's in the belly of the fish, he repents. He turns back to God. And he says, okay, God, I'm going to follow you now. I'm going to obey you. You know, Jonah's really flexible here. It took him 3 days in the belly of a stinky fish, but you know, he changed his mind. He decided to follow God. So God does do his work. And you know, for sometimes disobedience, it can be costly. You know, it almost cost Jonah his life. But you know, he went, didn't he? He went to Nineveh and he preached to them about turning back to God, about repentance, about turning from their sinful ways. And an amazing work happened in Nineveh. The whole city repented. The whole city turned to God. And Jonah got to experience something that he expected. He kind of knew that God was compassionate, that God was merciful. But now he experienced in a way that he would have never experienced, a whole city experiencing God's mercy. So for all of us, you know, God didn't give up on Jonah and he doesn't give up on us. Sometimes we can go down the wrong path and maybe God will allow that for a little while, but the Holy Spirit gently prods us and leads us and turns us and guides us to come back and corrects us and teaching us God's way. And you see, God's interested not so much in what we can do for him. He's interested in this relationship with him. He's interested in our character, about shaping and molding us into the character of Christ for all eternity, to be in relationship with him for all eternity. God is expressing his love through us as we walk in obedience to him. And here's the result. Henry Blackaby says, obedience brings joy and uninterrupted fellowship with God. Uninterrupted fellowship. No breaks. There's no time, in a sense, when we're walking in full obedience where we question, you know, where's God? We might not sense him at every moment, but we know God's with us. We know that God is moving, that God is working, that God is guiding. And so the good news is no matter that where we are today in our obedience, it's that God really wants to take us from where we are to where God wants us to be. And maybe you're there. And if you are, great, wonderful. Just keep walking there. Just keep doing what you know God has revealed for you to do. And if you haven't been in that area, then I invite you to maybe just consider turning back and asking God, how can I walk in obedience with you? So I want to, at this point, I want to reflect on these three questions, and then we'll move on fairly quickly. But how do I think God would describe my level of obedience with him today, right now? How am I walking with him in obedience? Good? Not so good? What do I know that God wants me to do that I'm not doing right now? Maybe God has revealed something and I'm just not there right now. What do I know that God wants me to do that I am doing, that I am walking in, that I am waiting to see God at work? So when we take that step of obedience, we experience the joy of all that God has to offer us. And I want us to read this second point together. God accomplishes his work through me. So God accomplishes his work through each one of us. When we align our lives with God and with what he has revealed, we take a step of obedience, and then God does what only God can do, a God-sized work in us. We were reflecting at our leadership team meeting this week about some of the ways that we have experienced God in the church and seen God moving. You've heard some of these from the pulpit before. You know, for example, every kid a camper taking a step of obedience to commit to every kid that wants to go to summer camp last year, and now this next year, that we would commit to sending them with a scholarship and trust God for the rest. And God used this congregation in amazing ways to send more kids than ever to summer camp with a little leftover. Amazing. And the 30 kids to Chick this summer, God's amazing work. And then Dwight, our chairman, he said, and he reflected back a few years when we put a new roof on the church. He said, we tried to save for years, put a little aside, and it just never happened. And then we felt the timing was right. It was the time to move. And so we committed to putting this roof on. And he said, the Lord worked through the church, and all the money came in, and it was paid off. It's all paid off. And he said, in less than a year. And then he goes, in less than a year. It was really amazing, I think, to see his enthusiasm and his excitement, because he realized that, hey, this wasn't something that we could do on our own. This is God at work in our midst. And he is excited. I so appreciate that Dwight has walked through some difficult seasons in this church in through leadership. And I love what God is doing through Dwight and how he's able to just express his experience of God and God's faithfulness. So I think we're experiencing a taste of what the disciples experienced when Jesus sent them out, as Isaac read. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you." So when we are obedient to how God is calling us and to what God is doing, we begin to see amazing things. On Wednesday night ministries, we've been invited, and you're still invited, to come on Wednesday nights and sit at a table with some students and just share, listen, be present. And some of the adults have been doing that. And I've talked to a couple this past week, and when asked, "What did you think?" And they were like, "Oh, I didn't know, all that was going on." And then again, another person said, "Yeah, it's crazy." And I think, well, yeah, it is kind of crazy. And it looks probably a little chaotic if you just enter in. But, when God is moving, when God is doing something, it's not normal. It's not the same old thing. It is a little different. It is a little crazy looking, because this is God's work that's happening. And we are beginning to experience something all new, brand new. It's like the 72, they returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That God has chosen you. And at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, he said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have revealed these things, not to the wise and the learned, but to the little children, for such is your good pleasure. Yes, Father, you are pleased to do it." Folks, you know, God is revealing himself through us, through the work he is doing in us. And it's joy. He ends with, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, in verse 23 and 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. In these days, I think those are words for us, to have our eyes open to see what God has revealed in Jesus Christ, to hear what God has proclaimed through the gospel, and to witness God at work through us. So this brings us to our final point. Let's read it together. I come to know God by experience. So when we experience God at work through us, we come to know him in a way that we would have never known apart from that experience. So there's really one person that I know more than anyone else, and this isn't to diminish anyone else, but this particular person seems to experience God in a unique way through this walk of obedience. You know, people tell me about how this person has touched their lives as God has done things through this person that only God could do, or reveal things that only God could reveal. And I've witnessed more individual children come to faith through this person in this church than I've ever seen. And God continues to work through this person to accomplish his will in my life. He gets all the praise and glory for it, but I am really eternally grateful to God for the way he uses this person's obedience. And so I've asked Cheryl to come and to talk about having willing hearts, to about walking in obedience. And I don't know if you know this, Cheryl, but you know, when we talk about, you know, this church, and I agree with you, having willing hearts, you know, to walk and to go where God has called, that I think that you exemplify that, you know, as much as anyone, and that willingness to follow God and to walk in obedience. And so thank you for that, Cheryl. We are all blessed because of that. So now you get to share.
Sherry makes me cry first. Being obedient was never a problem for me. Respecting my parents and others was what I was taught, so that's what I did. I went off to college and I was on my own, and I found myself following my own desires and doing what I wanted. This was my new way of life. This was fun and liberating, sometimes dangerous, and I found myself in places and situations that were uncomfortable and troubling. Eventually, I realized that I didn't like this life that I had led and the decisions that I had made. That's when I asked the Lord to rescue me from this mess and become Lord of my life. A few short months later, I met Tim. And when we started to grow and to discover together the Lord's way for our life, I began to once again practice obedience. Obedience to the word of the Lord and discerning his voice. I began to read the Bible often and ask God questions about it. And I remember reading for the very first time in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. It talks about all of the blessings of obedient living. And then the rest of that chapter 28 very clearly says all the curses of disobedience. This intrigued me, and perhaps was the beginning of a journey of following the Lord and his ways. 2 Samuel 22:31 says, "The Lord's way is perfect. His word is flawless." This new journey was an adventure, and I found when I obeyed his voice and those gentle promptings of the Lord, I experienced him in magnificent ways. I learned about his immeasurable love for me and my family, and that he cares about even the tiniest little detail in our lives. When we earnestly seek him, he will never disappoint. Tim and I have been a part of a Christian retreat for many years now, and one year, a leader called me and asked me to serve in an audiovisual and computer tech position. This position held a lot of responsibility, and it meant many, many hours of preparation, and I did not want to do this. But instead of saying no, I said I would pray about it, and so I did. And I also asked Shirley Robertson and Kathy Larson to pray for me. As I listened, I heard this gentle voice. This is the way to Christ-like living. Christ came and served and showed us how to serve, and I was to go and do likewise. However, at this retreat, I was blessed to see God at work in the lives of very many women. One person who I had known back in Spicer was at this retreat. And 14 years ago, I spent time with her, listening and praying and ministering to her. She had great difficulties with her father, and those troubles were never resolved. But God was at work in this situation, and because I was obedient to the Lord in this ministry, my faith grew, and I gained a better understanding of how God worked through me in praying with people. 14 years later, because God loves me and her so much, I had the privilege of being present at the retreat when she was able to forgive her dad and be set free in forgiveness. We both rejoiced that the Lord allowed this to happen with us together. And I learned that sometimes it's not about what God asked me to do, but it's about God wanting to bless me in a way that I could never have imagined. Obedience to God is full of blessings and surprises, and I've come to know God more intimately and more deeply every time I say, "Yes, Lord." It's good to obey.
So let's close our message today in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, that you come to us, you reveal your plans, and call us to align our lives to you. And Lord, finally, Lord, by faith, to walk in obedience to what you have revealed. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful to walking in that. Lord, help us to be obedient. And Lord, help us as individuals, as a church, to enjoy the blessing and the joy that comes out of faithfulness to you. Lord, we give you our lives again tonight, today, this morning, fully and completely. In Jesus' name, amen.